Begin the current daf Maseches Bava Metzia daf Nun Ches. Begin on the bottom of daf Nun Zayin Mabez. Two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues explaining our previous Mishnah. Our Mishnah mentioned regarding the theme of this parak, regarding halachas of Oina, regarding price fraud, that there are four exceptions to the area of Oina. That is Hektish, Karka, Shtar, and Avadim. Those four areas do not apply to halacha of Oina. Now, moreover, the Mishnah said that these four categories are also exempt from different areas too. And one of them is our Gemara quotes in the Mishnah, if an unpaid guardian, watchman, is watching these four items, Ashtar, Karka, Avadim, or Hekdesh, then the Shemichinim, although generally would be chayv to make a shvur that he wasn't negligent, because if he is, he would be liable for what happened to the object, these four areas he's exempt. Now, one of them, as we mentioned, is regarding Hekdesh, that you don't, a Shemichinim, a guy who's watching, he's an unpaid guardian, doesn't have to swear. On that, the Gemara has Verminu. But there seems to be a contradiction from the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim. The Mishnah says, B'nei Ha'ir, the people of a city, Shasholchu Es Shekleim, that if they sent a messenger to take their Shkalim, which every single year in the month of Adar, the people of the older Jewish people would each one send their own shekel to be given to the Beis HaMikdash to be used to purchase the Karbanis Tzibur, where the whole Jewish people had to pay for the Karbanis. Karbanis Tavit Shal Shachar, Karbanis Tavit Shal Bayim, there's Misafim, there's all these different types of Karbanis. How'd they pay for that? Every single Jew would contribute a shekel. So the members of the city, not everyone has to go up to Yerushalayim to bring it, they would gather all their shekelim, take it and give it to one person. He would be the messenger to bring up to Yerushalayim. Now says the Mishnah, let's have Nignuvu Aisha Avdu. If it was stolen or lost from the messengers on their way up to Yerushalayim, so the Mishnah says it depends when it happened. If by the time they come to court, regarding because they had to bring their shkalim and now their shliach went and lost it or got it stolen from him, if by that point in time the Trumas HaLishka was already taken off because they were three times a year before the three Yom Tovim, that then the Gizbarim, the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, would take from the Lishka where they would keep all the Shkalim, and they would put into three different boxes, and those three boxes would last up until the next time they separated. So it's before Sukkot, so the first time would be before Pesach, before Shavuos, and then before Sukkot. So if the Truma, the separation, because they didn't take all the coins to purchase the Karbanis, they had way more coins than what was necessary, so it would separate off what's called the Trumas HaLishka. They took from this chamber where they put all the coins, they would, because they would bring up from all the Shofaris, where they would put in, everyone put in their stuff, bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash, into the Lishka. Then from the Lishka, they would separate it three times a year into three different boxes. So it would make one Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. So if the Trumas HaLishka was already taken off by the time that they came to prosecute for this Shliach that lost it, so then says the Mishnah, as we continue to talk about Nuntches and Aleph, Nishbon LeGizbarim. So then, who does the Shliach swear to? And says, what do you mean? It wasn't my fault. I wasn't negligent. So they swear to the treasurers of Hekdesh that they weren't negligent, because they are who are the claimants in this case. Because since the Lishka, the chambers, were already had the separation, the Trumas HaLishka, so then there's no more responsibility and liability of the loss on the owners. Rather, it's on Hekdesh, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, where the in the Beis HaMikdash, the treasurers, the Kahanim, would separate for those Shkolim which were lost, that there should be a portion for those people who lost their Shkolim on the way up, in these boxes that they're separating, but they didn't know that it was lost, then they're included over here. So here too, where although it was lost, but since it wasn't yet defined up until the time of the court case, they had already separated Trumas HaLishka, so that Truma was already separated. So in other words, they had already extended it to them, and therefore now that was now in the domain of Hekdesh, and therefore the loss is going to be for Hekdesh, so there the Shliach has to swear that we're not liable, we weren't negligent, and it was stolen from us or lost from us, which Hashem Mechinim is exempt from. They make that Shvua to the temple treasurers and not to the people of the city that sent them. But, says the Mishnah, Vim Lav, but if not, in other words, if they had already known beforehand, that before they even did the Trumas HaLishka, they found out, they got message that the Shliach, the Shluchim, had lost their money. So then, subsequently the Trumas HaLishka is done, it's not done on those people from those cities, because since they know already, they already have the obligation to now supplement with different coins. And therefore, now in that case, the litigants are the people of the city. They are the ones who litigate with the shluchim. So they're v'nishbon l'bnei ha'ir. So in that case, the shluchim would have to swear to the people of the city to say, look, we weren't negligent, so we weren't getting paid. And therefore, we swear that we weren't negligent. Therefore, the loss is not our responsibility. And therefore, in that case, b'nei ha'ir shokel l'achirim tachtein. So now the people of the city, in that case, have to go ahead and now take new shkolim because they sent shluchim, but the shluch is exempt, so, and it has nothing to do with hekdesh, so therefore they have to go ahead and bring new shkolim. Says the Mishnah, Nimtzu, if let's say the shkolim was subsequently found, which is talking about the case of when it was lost, or in regards to the case of when it was stolen, the thieves come and return it, so elu ve'elu shkolim him, then both of them, meaning the new ones that they brought because they heard it was stolen or lost, and then now the old ones that were then found or returned, since it was already sanctified, it remained sanctified, and both of them are going to be considered shkolim for this year. And ve'en oilem l'shon aboy cannot be used to say, okay, we're not giving two shkolim, let's use it for the next year. You can't. They're already sanctified. Both of them have the halachas of shkolim for this year. Now, but the primary question that the Gemara is asking is, we said in our Mishnah regarding Hekdesh, Asher Mechin does not take a Shavua, and yet here we have clearly Asher Mechin who is making a Shavua that he was not negligent regarding the items of Hekdesh of the Shkolim. So you see that you are Nishba in Allah Hekdesh. So Amar Shmuel says, Hacha b'naisis sachraskin. Here, actually, in the Mishnah of the Shkolim, we're talking about, not as we had just explained it, not by Asher Mechin, but rather we're talking about a paid shliach, a paid guardian. So again, this shvu was not contradictory to the halach of our Mishnah of being exempt from payment, because we're not talking about a shem echinam that would swear that he wasn't negligent. And moreover, the shvu here that we talk, that neither are we talking about regarding the shem echinam to have to pay for the fact that it was stolen or lost, like that was also taught in our Mishnah that a shem sachar regarding hekdesh, neither is he liable for gneva veda. Rather, what is this shvuah? It's that v'nishbayin, it's that the shliach actually swears that the shkolim are not in his domain anymore. Now, the purpose for that is, again, not to exempt himself, because he wouldn't be exempt anyway, because he's a shemer sachar, who's chayim gneva veda, even if he was negligent. But, actually, the shemer sachar in this case is not even chayim gneva veda. So what's this oath? It's litol scharen. It's to take their pay from the people of the city. In other words, shem esachar is someone that does an agency for pay. So this guy's not going for free to bring up the stuff to Yerushalayim. He's charging for it. And therefore, what he's actually swearing about is, we are exempt. We're exempt because we're dealing with hekdesh. Hekdesh, Hashem Echidim is exempt from making a shvua. Hashem esachar, who we are exempt from if it gets stolen or lost from them. Even though generally, Hashem esachar is chayv. So what are they swearing about? They're swearing, okay, now that we're exempt, but we did our job, and therefore go ahead and pay us for our time. Now later on, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? Since they are shomer sachar, they're getting paid for their job, so then they should have protected it from the loss or from getting stolen, and they didn't do their job, so they never completed their mission. So although they're not going to be liable for the loss to compensate them, but definitely they can't get paid, that's going to be the Gemara's question, but that's how Shmuel explains that the shvua that they're making in the Mishnah Masechet Shkolim is to actually get paid. And that has the Gemara, Ihachim, if that's the case, then Nishboin Ligizborim, how could you have a situation that was said, oh, that if the Truma Salishka was already taken, then they swear to the temple treasurers? What does that mean? Why would they be swearing to the temple treasurers if they're swearing, as Shmuel has explained, to get paid, but they don't get paid from the temple treasurers? The one that hired them to do the mission are the people of the city. Lebnei Irmi Boilei should have said that they swear to the people of the city. So Amar Rabbi explains, Nishboin Lebnei Ha'ir. You're right. In all situations, they're swearing to the people of the city, as Shmuel had explained, to get paid. But in the other case of when it said that if the Trumas Alishka was already done, then they swear to the Gizbar, it means B'maimid Gizbar. It means in the presence of the temple treasurers. And the reason is very simple, because who's suffering the loss in that situation? It's the temple that takes the loss. Because as we explained, as we'll shortly quote also, is that once if the Trumas Alishka was done before they litigated, then the Truma was already done on those monies. They're already exempt, and the loss is going to be for Hekdesh. So now the reason why when he swears to the people of the city, when he wants to get paid, if the Truma Salishka was already done, he does it in the presence of the temple treasurers, is kihicha d'loi nachshadinu, is that they shouldn't suspect them to say, hey, what's going on? we already covered you for the Trumas Lishka, why aren't we getting our Shkolim? So he swears in their presence to say that yes, they had sent me, but it was lost or stolen. Or Ve'inami, or another reason why he has to swear it in their presence is Kihecha Delei Likr Lehu Poishim, that they shouldn't be called negligent sinners saying, hey, where's our, Hector's going to say, where's our money? The temple treasurer is going to say, we didn't get from you payment. So it's for those reasons, either they shouldn't suspect them or they shouldn't be considered called negligent people. That's why the oath is made in their presence. But you're right, it's really being made to the Bnei Ir because it's not regarding exemption that they're swearing the Shluchim, but it's actually to get paid. Now, on that, the Gemara continues asking on Shmuel, but v'hanignevu eisha avdu katani. The case that the Mishnah in Masechta Shkalim mentions is that if it was stolen or lost. Now, v'shomer sachar b'gneiva v'aveda chayuv v'mechayev. A shomer sachar, generally, the halacha is, if he's getting paid for what his watching is, then he's liable for if it gets lost or if it gets stolen. So, explains the Gemara in its question. Now, v'hachi nami here also, in this case, the way he described it, nehidish lumi lemishami. So, you're right. Although that these Shomer Sachars, if it gets stolen or lost from them, they're not going to pay, as we explained in the halacha of our Mishnah, because Hekdesh is excluded from the liabilities of the payment of the Shomer, but a Grayu Mi lasted, but at least, and this is the question we alluded to before, at least their pay should be lost, because they're responsible in their job description to protect it from getting lost and getting stolen. And that was the whole intention for that they were getting paid for. Because Hashem Echinim would do it for free and then, yes, wouldn't cover it for Geneva Veda. Now the problem is they didn't finish their work because actually God stolen or lost from them. So what is this halach of Shmuel that he's saying that it's that they're taking oath to get paid? How could you get paid if you didn't even do your job? So Rabbi says, no, they did do their job. How so? Because when it says Nignivu that it was stolen, it means Ballista Mizuyan. It was stolen from armed bandits, which that's a situation of oinus, it's beyond the person's control. In other words, for such an elevated status of watching, for safeguarding, that didn't accept. That's beyond the person's control. And so when it says, avdu that was lost, it means that his ship sank at sea, which is also a situation of an oinus. So though it says, gneva v'aveda, which is generally a little middle class of Shmira, which a person could generally avoid, it's actually referring to the highest level of Einis, which is beyond the person's control. That's what it means by Geneva Vaveda, and therefore, that's not something that he was getting paid for. He was getting paid for the middle class of Geneva Vaveda, and since that he did, and although it ended up getting lost and getting stolen, so again, he's going to be exempt, especially now that we're describing it as a case of Einis. But even if it was a regular case of Geneva Veda, he would be exempt because of Hektish. And moreover, he's going to get paid because he did his job. And that's again how Shmuel resolves the contradiction. Our Mishnah is talking about regarding exemption. Regarding exemption, you don't have to take a Shavua, and neither are you Chayiv if you're Shemesecha Geneva Veda. But says Shmuel, the Mishnah over there, Mesech Tashkom, that says that the person who's going to be making a Shavua regarding Hektish is regarding getting paid. Regarding getting paid, of course he would make a Shavua to show that he did his job, and then they go ahead and they pay him. That's one resolution. B'yechanam, he gives a different resolution for this contradiction. It says, Hamani, who's the Tana of the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim? It's Reb Shimon. It's Reb Shimon, which is quoted in Masechta Shavuos of Beis Mabeis. The Amar that he says, Kodshim Shechayiv Bachar Yusin. Regarding Kodshim, things are sanctified that the owner is liable for its responsibility, meaning the owner who's giving the deposit to the other person. If something would happen to it, he's Chayiv and Achrayis. So therefore, it's Reb Shimon considers it as if it's that kachim is really owned by the owner, meaning in contrast to being owned by Hektish, because if something would happen to him, he'd be responsible for it. So therefore, here also in the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim, the same thing is that the people of the city, although it's Hektish, they're giving Shkalim to be used for Karbanis, but they would, if something happens to it, they're going to be responsible to have to go ahead and compensate and reimburse Hektish and give new coins. So therefore, yesh lehen oinav v'nishban aleim. That's Reb Shimon over there, which applies so to the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim, that then there is oinav, and that you do have to take an oath of it. So yes, although our Mishnah says that you don't, not nishban hekdesh, that's like Reb Shimon who disagrees, and so to his court over there, which then is going to be the same in the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim, that you do make a shvuah for the case of Shkalim, because there is a case of achrayis. Now, that asks the Gemara, Hatenach Achalei Nitrim HaTrumah. That only works for one of those two cases, the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim, before the Trumas HaLishka was taken off it. Because then it's considered a case of Chayiv Bachar Yusan, where the owners, if something happens to it, since the Trumas HaLishka wasn't taken off it, if it gets lost or gets stolen, they're going to have to compensate back and add new Shkalim. So therefore, that's a case where you could say it's considered theirs, and therefore then you would have to make a Shvuah, although it's an item of Hektish. But ask the Gemara, Mishnah Nitrim HaTrumah, but regarding the other case of when Trumas HaLishka was already taken off, That is essentially a case of kachim she'en nechayv b'achriyus inenu. That's a case where it's the shkalim, which are kachim, are there's no liability for the original owners. And since there's no liability, as we explained, because then the nishboin al gizbarin, then he should actually be exempt from a shvu in that situation. Because the Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, which Braisa talks about this halacha that we mentioned, when people, all the Jewish people, give their shkolim to the Beis HaMikdash, so again, they would fill up three boxes three times a year from the money of the lishka, of the chamber, which that was the truma, the separation to take from the money of the boxes to purchase the karbanis for the tzibur for the whole year. Then from that lishka, they would separate on the condition that there should be three boxes. And now these three boxes are only considered the head, the truma, the separation for the rest, for the remnants, whatever is left over that they didn't separate and buy the karbanis from, what's called the shiraim, the remnants in the lishka, that those that they do bring should cover and be considered for the shkalim of the those that are left, in that they should also be considered part of, because that person's coin is not being used, but it should be considered as if the karbanos are also on those that are left over. So the Braisa says that tarmin, that not only does the truma work for the leftovers that are remained in the chamber, but the separation will even work on al those who send their shkalim and are of it, but are lost, and they don't know of it yet that it's lost. So even if it got lost, but they don't know yet, the Trumas Alishka will work for them too, as if the Karbanos are being worked from their Shkolim too. And Va'ala Gavoy, it also will work for those which are collected but didn't reach yet to the Beis HaMikdash, that they're just on the road. And even Va'ala Osad Ligvais, even for those that will ultimately be collected. In other words, if someone had an Aina, something beyond his control, and he wasn't able to send his Shkolim in Adar, so he would send his Shkolim the entire year, and he would put into what's called a Shaifer, which were these certain type of boxes, which were narrow in the top, so the thieves cannot stick their hands in and take out the Shkolim, which were written on their box, Tikkun Chadatim, were the new Shkolim. Now, the chamber, as we explained, was separated three times a year. 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuos, and 15 days before Sukkot. Now, when they reached the time to do the Trumas HaLishka, so they would take all the monies from all these boxes called the Shofaros and put it into the chamber. And then from the chamber, they would go ahead and separate. And when they would separate, they would put in three into three boxes. When they did it the first time, they would make conditions that even for those which will ultimately collect it after this time. So to buy the second Trumas HaLishka, which was before Shavuos, and by the third time. Now, if anyone brings it after the third time, then they would put it into a different type of a box, what's called a Shofar, which was called Tiklan Atikin, that these are the old Shkalim, then they would automatically go and into the arena of the Shiyari HaLishka, whatever was used for the remnants of the chambers. And from there, they would go ahead and use it to fortify the walls of the city and for the towers of that. So essentially, the Gemara's question is that the Gemara is bringing in the Braisa to prove that these Shkalim, if the Trumas HaLishka was done, even though it was lost, but since they didn't know about it yet, as we explained, the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim, which the Gemara is fortifying with this Braisa, that shows clearly it's the Trumas HaLishka covers that. So therefore, it's like as if Hektash already extended, and they already exempt the people of the city from their obligations, even though it was lost before, but since they didn't know about it before, until after the Lishka was already separated, it's covered for them. So it's all considered that domain of Hektash. And therefore, they're not Chayv Bachri Yusin. So that's the question that we're asking. If it's a case that they're not Chayv Bachri Yusin, even if he's saying the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim is like Reb Shimon, who holds that when there is a Chayv Achrayis, then we do consider as if it's the owners. And then therefore, you're going to be Chayv Ashvua. But when there's no Chayv Achrayis, which is when the Trumas HaLishka was already separated, even after it was lost, but before they knew about it, which is that other case in the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim, that seemingly the halacha should be that the shluchim should be exempt from a shvu, because you don't make a shvu on Hekdesh that there's no chiv achrayis, and yet that's the other case where it says that they are nishbon, like his bar. So Elam Rebbe Elazar, rather Rebbe Elazar says that in truth, this shvu in the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim is an oath to exempt from payment, and it's talking about by Hashem Echinam. Now the question was, but our Mishnah said clearly that biblically that there is no obligation to make a shvua, as we learned from Pesukim, from Hektish Amish on Hashem Echinam. So explains Rebbe Elazar, how do we understand the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim? Shvua zu takanes chachami. This shvua, this oath, is a rabbinic injunction. Shleiyu b'nei adam mezalzim hektish, that people should not disgrace Hektish in the way they safeguard it. In other words, yes, although biblically the halacha is that the Shem Echinam is exempt, But the Rabbanan made a chiyuv de Rabbanan for him to take an oath, because we don't want people to say, oh, okay, fine, I lost it, whatever. Oh, yeah, maybe I was negligent, whatever. There's no chiyuv for me to take an oath anyways that I was negligent. So to fortify the covet of Hekdesh in regards to Eretz Shemira, the Rabbanan introduced a chiyuv de Rabbanan of Yeshua, and therefore it's not a contradiction. Our Mishnah is talking about the biblical halacha, and the Mishnah of Masechta Shkalim is talking about a rabbinic halacha regarding specifically the Shemira of Hekdesh. Then the Gemara continues with the next halacha of the Mishnah, that similarly, the previous halacha was talking about a shomer chinam, who is exempt from taking an oath that he wasn't negligent. And they say, sachar einu mishalem, a paid custodian doesn't have to pay, which generally a shomer sachar has to pay if it's stolen or lost. A shomer sachar on these four items, karka, shtaris, navadim, and hekdesh, which is the one we're going to discuss, he doesn't have to pay if it gets stolen or lost. So the Gemara says, Rami le Rav Yisif bar Chama le Rabba. So Rav Yisif bar Chama posed the following contradiction to Rabba. On the one hand, it's not we learned in our Mishnah, as we just quoted. A paid custodian for item of hekdesh does not have to pay if it gets stolen or lost, in contrast to a regular paid custodian. On that he asks, but Vermina, we learned in the Braisa that talks about by the treasurer of hekdesh, Haseicher es hapoyel, that hired a worker from the money of hekdesh, Lishmer es hapar, to watch and to safeguard the par aduma, the red heifer, the red cow, which was purchased by Hekdesh, and they want this guy to watch it and safeguard it that it doesn't become invalidated because if a yoke is put on it or it develops a blemish, then it becomes invalid from being used as a par aduma to be used for the purification of people that became Tamil Mason. So they hire this guy to watch the cow. Or Lishmer Satinik. Or they're paying this guy to watch the children that they don't become impure, which they would actually raise children to be used in the process of the purification, of creating the paraduma, when they would go ahead and burn the ashes and mix it with the water. They would actually raise children on elevated courtyards, which was built on top of an empty a cave underneath it, as the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkot of Chafal of Manalev, because they did certain elevated statuses of Tahara by the Kohen who burns the Paraduma, that his separation should be in Tahara, and moreover his brothers, the Kohen Manalev, touch him for those 7 days, as the Gemara says in Masechta Yumin of Chesem and Beis. So too they would raise these children that should have never gotten impure in their whole life. They would be the ones who would fill up the water, the Mayim Chaim, to be used to be Mekadesh, the ashes of the Paraduma, and then they would spray that on the Kohen, those ashes, all those 7 days. Now, so that's another case if they're paying a worker to watch these children, or Lishmeres Zroim, or let's say they're paying somebody to watch the grain, which was a field that was early in its growth, which was planted to be used for the Karban Omer, which they would already have that watching it from before Pesach, 70 days before, as the Gemara says in Sechtes Nachas. Or another case similarly would be in the Shemitah year, where there's no wheat to be gotten, there's no grain, there's no barley to be used in the Karban Omer, so they would make sure they would watch the overgrowth from last year to be used for the Omer and for the Shtei Alechem to get the wheat. So they're paying someone, and all these they're paying them from Hekdesh money, because these are for Hekdesh purposes. So says the Braisa, so let's say this worker is what's called a schir yom. He gets paid by the day. They're not allowed to pay him for watching on Shabbos, because that's forbidden to get paid to do business transactions for Shabbos service. So lefikach ein achray Shabbos lav. So therefore, if something would happen to what he was watching, let's say the paraduma or the child or the grain, if something got ruined on Shabbos, he wouldn't have to pay because he's not getting paid for that day. So if it's not his obligation to safeguard them on that day. Now, but let's say how you schir Shabbos. Let's say he was getting paid by the week, or schir chaydish, you're getting paid by the month, or schir shana, you're getting paid by the year, or schir shavu, getting paid by a complete shemitah cycle of 7 years. So then, noisily schar Shabbos. It says the Braisa, then you're allowed to pay him for the work he's doing on Shabbos, because that's what's called havla. It's sublimated in the payment of the rest of the weekend. It's not explicit for Shabbos, so that's not a violation of the lochas of Shabbos. So lefikach acharei Shabbos lov. So therefore, then he has the responsibility of Shabbos on him because he's getting paid for it. Then he would be responsible if anything happens on Shabbos. So ask the Gemara, my lav l'shalim. So isn't it, asks Rav Yisrael bar Chama to Rabba, it sounds like, what does it mean that the responsibility of Shabbos is on them? Meaning if something would happen to the Hekdesh item, that then, as a Shomer Sachar who is getting paid, he would have to pay for, if something happens, let's say it gets stolen or gets lost, that contradicts the Halacha of HaMishnah, which said that a Shomer Sachar is exempt for items of Hekdesh on Geneva HaVeda. So answered Rabbi Loi, no. lahafsid scharai. When we said that then he's responsible if something happens on Shabbos, it means to say then he's not going to get his paycheck. He's going to lose his payment. But not that he's liable to pay for the damages of what happened. That is exempt because, as our Mishnah said, a shemisachar of hektish is exempt. Now, if that's the case, that we're talking about that the liability is on him regarding if something happens on Shabbos, that it means he loses his pay. Well, then Reisha Diktani, the Reisha that said that if he's getting paid per day, so he said, Einech Rai Shabbos Lav, he doesn't have the liability of Shabbos on him. Ask the Gemara, Hachinami de Lahafsit Schari, so what are you, the way you're interpreting when we say the responsibility is on him, it means to say that if something happens, he loses his paycheck. So in the Reisha, when it says that he does not have a Chari Shabbos, it means that he's going to lose his paycheck. But in that of the Gemara, Umi Isli Schar Shabbos, but does he even get paid for Shabbos to lose the paycheck of Shabbos? But Volkitani Ein Isli Schar Shabbos, this is a guy who gets paid per day. Each day is a new contract. And we said he doesn't get paid for Shabbos because he gets paid per the day. So how could you say that then there's no Achrais, that as if what? Then what do you mean there's no Achrais, meaning that he gets paid, but he doesn't get paid because Schar Shabbos, how could you say Achrais is regarding the loss or the getting of pay? So that the Gemara says Ishtik, so Rabbi was silent, didn't have an answer for that. So Amalei, so he said to Rav Yisrael Bar Chama, Midi Shmielach Baha, did you hear something regarding this? It's a good question. What would the answer be? So Amalei, so he said to him, Hachem Rav Sheshe, this is what Rav Sheshe said. How do we understand? It seems to contradict the halacha of our Mishnah. Regarding this halacha of the Shemir Sachar, our Mishnah said that he's exempt, and seemingly here the Brice is saying that he's going to be liable. So Rav Sheshe said, it's B'shekonu Miyadeh. The Brice is talking about where he acquired liability from they acquired it from his hand. In other words, if something is going to go wrong with his watching, he took responsibility that he's going to pay, and that he's accepted explicit responsibility. So then, says Rav Sheshe, then for sure he is going to pay, because since he went and he said that my assets, I am a good watchman, I'm taking responsibility, and my assets will be liable if anything happens, so then he's going to pay. And they acquired it from his hand, that he took responsibility. I mean, in other words, halachically he didn't have to. And the halacha would be that since he's shemisach of a hektish, he would be potter from getting baveda. But the Brice is talking about a case where he accepted explicit responsibility. So then we say that there's going to be a difference if he's a schir yom or a schir Shabbos regarding if he is going to have the liability that he accepted on Shabbos since he's not getting paid. So then he's not going to be liable even though he accepted responsibility. But in the other times, the achrayis alav is that he is going to have to pay because he accepted explicit responsibility if something happens. Now, our Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, which we mentioned previously was one of the approaches to say that this was the Tana in the Mishnah Masechet Shtalim. Reb Shimon Aimer, he says, Kachim Shechai Bachar Yusan, Yesh L'mayno. He disagrees with the Tana of our Mishnah. Our Tana of our Mishnah said that black and white, Kachim, you're always exempt from the there is no Aino on Kachim. Reb Shimon says, he says, depends. Kachim Shechai Bachar Yusan, Yesh L'mayno. If it's a Kachim that the owner of that Kachim has responsibility, meaning if something would happen to it, he would have to compensate to Hektish. Then, regarding his sale to the other person, there is going to be a no, because it's considered owned by that individual, not by Hektish. But there is no responsibility that he has to Hektish, if something would happen to this carbon, then it's considered owned by Hektish, and then there's not going to be a no, like regular Hektish, that there's no a no. So, Tone Tanaka made Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. There's a teacher of Brises who toured in front of Yitzchak Bar Abba the following Briso, which discussed halachas of Shvus HaPekadon, regarding someone that's watching the deposit of someone else, and then he takes an oath that he doesn't have that Pekadon, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Then he admits. So then the halacha is that generally Yechayev on Hashem Gezeles for a Karban Hashem, for thievery, for attempting to steal through Toin Tain Niskanav this person's object that you're watching. So says the Brisa, Kachim Shechayev, regarding Kachim, sanctified items, that the owner of that Kachim is liable b'achriyusin for its liability. In other words, for example, when he says Hario Lai, when he says it's coming upon me, which is an acceptance of a neder, and then he separates a specific animal, and then he deposits that animal to another individual to watch. Now that Shema then denies him having it, which was called Tony Tanzgam, he claims, I don't have it, it was stolen, something that is exempt. Then he swears to that effect, and then he admits, says the Brisa, Chayiv, that Shemir is going to be Chayiv for a carbon shvua, for the carbon that happens for taking a false oath on the Pekadon. The reason being, says the Brisa, Shani Koyer Behen, because I recite regarding this case, the Pasuk in B'yukah that says, Bashem B'kichish, which the Pasuk says, Nefesh kisechata, this is a Yikra Perkei Pasuk Chafal. It says, if a person will sin, umol amal b'Hashem, and he'll misappropriate regarding Hashem, v'chichesh ba'amisa, and he's going to deny to his friend, b'pikadin, regarding a deposit, ay b'tzum esyad, regarding a loan, ay b'gazel, or regarding a robbery, ay ashek as a misa, or if he oppressed his friend, regarding any of these things that if he denies, then, and he swears, and then he admits, then he's chayev for a carbon shvua. So it says over there in the Pasuk, where, although generally it's read umol amal b'Hashem, kama v'chichesh b'amisai, but says the Braisa, it says the word b'Hashem and then v'chichesh, which the Gemara's assumption originally is that the reason why, in this case, he's going to be chayv a carbon shvuah is because it's b'Hashem, which is something of hektish, where that's what says umol amal b'Hashem, that v'chichesh, in such a case, then you're chayv. So therefore, since there's an element of hektish over here, so he's going to be chayv a carbon shvuah. But for she'enichai bechayus and pater. But if there's no liability from the owner in this situation, then the one who took a false oath is going to be exempt. Shani karben, because I would recite regarding such a case ba'amisa v'chichish, that and his friend v'chichish. In other words, the pasuk there also mentions ba'amisa. What the Bryce is saying is that since it's called of his friends, and his friends he's going to be exempt because you need to have ba'shem v'chichish. So therefore, although it says later on the pasuk about Misa, but you need Bashem Echichesh, so in this case, he's going to be exempt. Now, on this Braisa that this teacher Braisa said over in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Abba, so Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak Abba said to him, he says, Klapei Lai, which direction is this going? How do you even understand the Braisa that you just told me? As the Gemara continues on the base, Ipcha Mistabra, it's logical, the exact opposite of what you're saying. Everything seems the opposite. In other words, regarding the case when there is no liability for the owner of that carbon who gave the deposit to this person, that actually would be considered more b'Hashem than the case of when he is chayv b'achrayis. And if you're going to say, as which is another question, if you're going to say that the liability would only be in cases of when it's regarding gevalia, regarding hektish, regarding owned by Hashem, by Shemayim, and to exempt the case of carbon shvu in the cases of when it's owned by a commoner, then it should have said the other way. It should have said, if it's kachem that is a chiyav achrayis, then actually that would be the case of being pater, not the way it was said over that it was chayav, because then I would say it's actually considered b'amisa v'chichish, because since there's a liability, so then we consider it really owned by the person, not by hektish, because if something would happen, that he would have to replace it. And the other way, if there's no chiyav achrayis, if there's no responsibility on the part of the owner, then I would say that then there is going to be a chiyav karmen shavua, because that would be the case of Hashem v'chichish. So that's one question, which is the exact opposite of how it was said. But moreover, he asks, even the other part of the halacha is the exact opposite. By the case of when it's owned by the commoner, by the regular person, that should be a greater chiv, because when someone watches something of hektish, he's actually exempt from his shvuah. And anything that comes related to hektish, he's also exempt. So how are you telling me b'Hashem v'chichish is the only case that you're chayiv? To the contrary, it's v'chichish ba'misa, which the pasuk says, that's when there's a chiv. Actually, if it's regarding hektish, is when he's actually pater. So those are two questions that are exactly the opposite of how it was said. So Amalei, so the one who taught him the Braisa, said, Ismayeye? Should I remove this Mishnah from my collection of Braises? So Amalei, so he said to him, Loi, no. But rather this that the Braisa is saying, that I'm regarding such a case, I recite B'Hashem Echichesh. It's not Mashma that it's saying that, oh, it's only when it's B'Hashem Echichesh, when it's a denial regarding Hashem, regarding Hektish, that's when you can be chayv a carbon shvuah. And to exclude the case of ba'amisoi, that it's, and when it's regarding his friend, that then not, and to say that only the chiv is going to be when it's dead of hektish, rather hachikama. If you want to understand, if you don't want to delete this braisa, you have to explain it as follows. Kachim shechayv b'achar yusin chayv. Regarding kachim, karbanis, that there's a liability on the part of the owner, that's when he's going to be chayv a carbon shvuah. And the reason being is because the primary liability of a carbon shvuah is when it is ba'amisoi, is because it's related to the friend. And since there's a chiv achrayis, it's really considered owned by the person and not by hektish. Now, on that, the Braisa was addressing a concern. If you're going to say that he should be exempt from a carbon shvuah because there is an element of hektish to it, because it's a carbon, that's what the Braisa was saying, that no, b'Hashem Echichesh comes to teach us the israbu mi b'Hashem Echichesh, that it's included in ba'amisa, although there is an element of hektish to it, but still that's what the pasuk is teaching, that even though there's ba'shem mechichish, it's still going to be considered ba'amisa, because it's still owned, because of the chiyachayis, by that person. But if there is no responsibility on the part of the owner, then the one who gave the deposit to, who swore falsely to him, is going to be exempt from a carbon shvua, because there I do not say, as we said, as we thought originally, to exclude b'misa v'chichesh, because to the contrary, here the only primary liability is b'misa v'chichesh, and here you don't have b'misa, because it's not, it has nothing to do with this guy's friend, the one that gave him the deposit. If anything happens to him, he's exempt. It's all owned by Hekdesh. The imit min b'misa v'chichesh, where this case is excluded when there's no chiv achrayis from b'misa v'chichesh, which v'chichesh b'misa is the primary words in the literal translation of the pasuk saying, primary is the friend, and just the Bryce is addressing that even when there is an element of Hekdesh to it, but there's a chiv achrayis, so it's primary b'misa, that even there there's going to be a chiv achrayis, and hence a liability of carbon shvu on the part of a shomer. And again, it's related to the halacha that we mentioned regarding the opinion of Reb Shimon, that when there is a chiv achrayis, that's going to be included in the liability, but when there's no chiv achrayis, then it's purely of hektish, and that's like Reb Shimon said, that's when there's no chiv, that's when there's no chiv of, as he said, regarding the halacha of armish, not by no, and so to regard the halacha of carbon shvu. Now, then the Mishnah said, although we said that there was regarding only four items that are excluded from halachas of Aynah, regarding karka, land, eved, slaves, and shtar, documents, and hekdesh, but Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afa mecher sefer Torah margolis behema ein lemanah. And our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, and also someone that sells a Torah scroll, pearls, and an animal, there's not going to be any Aynah. So Tanya Lin, the Brisa, expounds on this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, afa mecher sefer Torah ein lo Aynah. Also, someone that sells a Torah scroll, there's no Aynah, there's no price fraud. Even though it's a sixth more or less than how much it's worth, there's not going to be considered price fraud. And the reason being is, lefisha ein ketz l'dmel, there's no set price for the value of a sefer Torah, it's priceless. And therefore, even more than a, even if when it's a sixth, there's not going to be the halachos of Aynah to it. So to behema umagolis ein lemaynah, so to the sale of an animal or a pearl, there's no halacha b'aynah. Then they shall adam reitz lazavgan, because a person wants to pair them up. In other words, someone that has a good ox to plow with, so he's going to try to find another good ox, another good animal to plow with, to pair with it in carrying the yoke. Because if actually someone pairs a weak ox with a healthy ox, actually even ends up destroying and hurting the healthy ox. So too, if someone has a beautiful pearl, he wants to match it up with the other, another beautiful pearl in the gold setting, which it, you don't get that so often. And if a person is willing to spend, even the value of it is even more than a sixth, and therefore there's no halacha v'aynah regarding so to an animal and regarding a pearl. Now, Amr Loi, the Brisa quotes that the Chacham said back to Rabbi Yehuda, but v'haloi hakol adam reitz lazavkan. Any item a person wants to pair up, then everything should not have the halacha v'aynah, because the person will pay anything to pair up to what he has. So it could be a rug, it could be a window shade, it could be anything if a person wants to pair it up. On that, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, hani chashivilei. He holds that no, these things, regarding a pearl and regarding an animal, they're very endeared to him to want to match it up. But other things, although a person would like to pair it up, but they're not so distinct for him that he would spend any money to go ahead and pair it up, and therefore it only applies his heter of an animal and a pearl. Now ask the Gemara, now va'ad kama, up until how much would it not be considered aynah for the sale of an animal or a pearl? So ma'amimer, he says, ad kidei demeyim, until double the value. That's how much a person would be willing to pay. More than that, that even for these items would also be considered as aynah. Now Tanya learned the Brisa, reviewed Ben Beseira, he adds on, afa mecher sus, also someone who sells a horse, or v'sayef, or a sword, or v'chatitim, or a shield, b'mochama, during a war, there also ein lemanah, there's no price fraud, it doesn't make a difference how much he charges, it's considered fair price, memnei she'esh ben chayi nefesh, because it hasn't it, the life of a person's soul depends on these things during wartime, and it's worth all that money, and therefore the halacha b'aynah would not apply to these items during war. Now, the Gemara continues on this theme of our parak of the halachas of Aynah and tells us, kishem sh'aynah b'mekech u'memchor, just like we established in previous Mishnayos, that there's halacha of Aynah, which is hurting someone else, which we explain the halacha is a price fraud in regards to business dealings, kach Aynah b'dvarim, so too is the halacha of Aynah of hurting somebody else with words. And that's also prohibited. Which is, loyom meloy, a person not allowed to tell someone else, is just using words, b'kama chefetze, how much is this object worth? How much are you selling it for? V'wayne roi tzalikach, and he doesn't want to buy. Where that is considered aynah, hurting somebody else with a person's words. So, t'imhoi b'al tshuva, if somebody was a person that was a penitent, someone that had repented. Tell him, oh, remember your previous things. Remember when you used to do all those bad stuff. That's Einas Devarim. Imhu ben Geirim, if he's the son of converts, tell him, oh, remember what your fathers used to do. They were non-Jews. Like it says the pasuk in Shemayis, it says v'ger loyseling and loyselchetzena, a convert, you're not allowed to afflict lashon aveina and oppress. So the halacha of einas devarim of aveina applies to devarim towards. As the Gemara brings Tanur Bar Linda, Brisa expounds on this halacha. It says in the pasuk of Yikra, loyseinu ishtes amisa, a man's not allowed to afflict his friend. Says the Brisa, by einas devarim akasim dab, it's talking about affliction of words. Says the Brisa at the Oyma by Nois Devarim, is it really that you'll say that some odd affliction with words? Or maybe it's only afflicting a person with money, as we said, the halacha of charging more than a sixth. So says the Brisa, when the Pasuk says previously, it already says, if you're going to sell a sale item to your friend, or if you're going to buy from your friend, there the Pasuk says, if a man's not allowed to afflict his brother, it already mentions already the Pasuk regarding monetary Oyna. Haman and Mekam, so what do I accomplish with this later pasuk? Lo yisaynu ishes amisa, a man's not allowed to afflict his brother, his friend. By nos devarim, that's a reference to afflicting with words. Says the Brisa, hoketzad, how so? Says the Brisa, hoye bal tshuva, if he was a person that had repented, al yemer lo yizachar masech roshem, and I'll tell him, oh, remember your previous actions, you used to do all those bad stuff. Im hoye ben gamer, if it's the son of converts, al yemer lo yizachar masech roshem, don't tell him, oh, remember what your fathers used to do. If he was a convert himself and he was coming to learn the words of Torah, al yemeloi, you can't tell him pesha ochel nevelis, the mouth that ate non-kosher things that were not slaughtered properly, or treifas and that had mortal defects, shkatzim remasim vermin. This mouth he ate all these non-kosher stuff. Balul mitayra is coming to learn Torah shenemer mepiakvu, which was said by the mouth of the Mighty One of Hashem. How could you, you a non-Jew, you ate all these non-kosher stuff? How could you come and learn Torah? You're not allowed to say that to a person that converted. Moreover, how you yisurin bar in the love. If a person had afflictions that was coming on him, or imhoy chaloyim bar in the love, or illnesses came on him. Someone who's burying his sons. He's not allowed to tell him like the colleagues, like the friends of Eve said to Eve, as the pasuk says, "Halo your ascha kislasecha." His friends told him, "Behold, your fear should be your confidence. Tikvascha, your hope. V'tem drachecha, and the completion of your ways. Zecharna, recall. Mihu naki avid. Who's someone that was clean that lost, that had a loss? In other words, you did something wrong that you had the afflictions. You can't say that to somebody that went through pain and suffering and a loss that is causing him einas devarim. So timhoye chamor mevakshim tfu mimenu, if donkey drivers were requesting from a person produce that they could transport for him, lo yemalehem, he's not allowed to tell them, luchu etzel pleini, go to that guy who he sells produce, and he knows that that person never sold produce at all, which again, although he's not doing any action, but with his words, he's afflicting these people who are going to go schlep all the way to him and find out that there's no job over there. Again, that's considered einas devarim. Behudaim, he says, afle yitla einav al hamekach. You're not allowed to even just make with eyes on objects. You're not allowed to go window shopping where the store owner sees you, b'shosh ein l'dam, at a time when you have no money, where you look like you're browsing through the products and he thinks he's getting something. Even just doing that without even saying words itself is also considered a violation of this halacha. Now, says the Gemara, it's coming to address why in this pasuk, when it talks about a nice devarim, it mentions the term about fear of God. So the Brisa explains, shaharei, because all these things that we just spoke about, the goodness or the badness of them are not recognizable because shahari, because they are things that are hadavar masur laleif. They're only in the heart of the one who's doing these things. He's the only one that knows if what he's doing is right or crooked. And he could say that I was only doing it for goodness. I thought that that person had produce to sell. Or I thought that I was going to buy this object, which really he wasn't intending to. And it was unnecessary harming that other person. So, anything that's given over just in the heart of man where no one else knows but him what he was really thinking, so that's where the pasuk says, you should fear your God, meaning you should fear from the one who knows your thoughts if your intention was really for good or for to afflict your brother. Now, Amr B'Yechon, Mishum, Mishum, Ben Yechai, he says, it's greater the sin of afflicting with words, me'enos moment, from afflicting with money, with overcharging. Because by nos devarim, it says you should fear your God. But it doesn't have to warn that you should fear your God by nos moment. Rabbi Lazar, I mean, he says a different reason. Because by nos devarim, you're afflicting the body of your friend, but by nos moment, it's only afflicting his money. And obviously, a person that feels more pain in his body than the loss of his pocket. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni, he says a different reason. He says, "Zen nitin liyishavin, v'zen loy nitin liyishavin." Money can be returned, but hurtful words can never be returned, can never be undone. That is something that is greater the sin of Inoz Devam than Inoz Moment. Now, a related discussion to this regarding the pain that a person suffers when people afflict with words, how much worse they are than just afflicting on a person's finances, is Tani Tani Kamidra of Nachma Yitzchok. There was a teacher of Bryce who taught in front of Nachma Yitzchok that says, Kolamal bin Penicha Veibarab, whoever whitens the face of his friend in public, meaning he embarrasses him, and therefore the color drains from his face, Ki'ilo Shevichdom, it's as if he has spilled blood. So Amalei, Rav Nachum Yitzchok told this one who taught him this price, a Shapa Karmet, this is very good what you're saying. It's true. Because I have seen people who have been embarrassed. The reason why it's considered like spilling blood is because I have seen that the red which a person's face has because of the blood that travels through his face leaves and it becomes white. Because the blood, like shefach dam, spiller of blood, a person is as if he's killing him because of the embarrassment that he went through. So to Amalei Abayel Rav Dimi, he says, "B'marava b'maizahiri in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, what are they meticulous? What are they scrupulous? In what area of halacha are they careful with?" So Amalei said to him, "Ba'ach v'ri api, with the whitening of the face, where because the Amr B'chanina, he said, "Hakol yorin leGehenim chutz mishloisha." Everyone goes down into Gehenim except for three. Now the question on the way was originally said was, "Hakol sakatayitach, can you entertain that everybody goes to Gehenim? What do you mean there are righteous people that don't go to Gehenim?" Elaim rather say, to the contrary, all those who do go to Gehenim ultimately come out, besides three that go into Gehenim and never come out. Who are these three? Habal Eshes Ish, if someone has relations with a married woman. Someone that whitens the face of his friend in public, meaning he embarrasses him, he humiliates him in public. And if someone gives a wicked nickname for his friend. Now, in that third one, the Gemara asks, Machana Haina Malbin, but giving a bad nickname is essentially embarrassing a person. Why is that mentioned it separately? So that answers the Gemara, Avagav de Dashbe Bishmei. Even though he's already used to it, because people have already been giving him this nickname for a long time, and he doesn't even get embarrassed from it anymore, but the one who says the wicked nickname intends to embarrass him, so although he's not even getting embarrassed, so it's not going to be considered Hamal B'nech Beberabim, but since this person has these wicked intentions, he's doing a Machana Shem Ra'al L'Chaveroi, that is enough reason for him to go into Gehenim and never come out.